This week, we are talking about an infamous hacker collective responsible for ruining Christmas for many gamers around the world. This is LifeWorld.
Hi, Derek. How you doing?
I am good. How are you, Kate?
I'm doing okay. What are you telling me about?
I figured this week I would bring the story of Lizard Squad, or at least part of it, because it's still a developing thing even after it had started back in 2014. Like, within the last couple of years, people have been sentenced, and we're still finding more and more out about it.
Cool. I am neither a lizard nor in a squad, so I'm ready.
Are we not allowed to be a squad with just two people?
No, exactly. It needs more than that.
Damn it. All right, we need a third host. But in the meantime, so basically Lizard Squad was it's, again, complicated. But for what we're covering, they were a group of supposedly 4 to 7 members that were a bunch of black hat hackers that just doing really crappy, shitty things online.
I was in that squad in high school, maybe. It's possible.
Did your squad have a name as well?
No, but I think we've established that I was not very well behaved online in high school, so.
See, now I'm wondering, is it the number of people that make it a squad, or is it just the amount of shitty things done?
Oh, no, it's the number of people. Because I can do plenty of shitty things online all by myself.
Yeah, but like, it's complete tangent now. You have like the math team, you don't call them the math squad.
You know what they were called in my high school? Are you ready?
All right.
We were mathletes.
I had a feeling. But not a squad.
But not a squad. No, it's not entirely the number. But I think we, okay, in my high school, I think we had too many to be a squad.
And you were solving problems, not causing them.
While there, yes.
There you go.
In other parts of my life, not so much.
I have no idea where the hell to transition from that. So, they were a group of hackers, black hat hackers, just getting around to doing crappy things online, specifically with a lot of DDoS attacks.
So you have a lot of jargon to unpack.
Not really. The DDoS attack is a pretty easy one, just because whenever you visit a website, you send a ping or a call to that site saying, hey, I want to access your information. And the website says, sure, or I guess the server says, sure, here's your information that you asked for. Now, think the best example I've always done is imagine Black Friday, but not like getting super into it because it's terrifying. But the idea of all of these people outside of the store want that one thing in it. And so think of the internet as that doorway that all of those people are trying to get through. So if you do it a whole bunch of times, it slows everyone down to a stop because they can't get through that door.
So the internet is Walmart.
God, I hope not.
See, for me, I'm following this. Like, in many, many ways, there are terrifying things on the other side.
Uh-huh.
And random acts of violence. And I could spend way too much money. Like, I'm on it. I'm following.
And then every once in a while, something cute, but it's few and far between.
Well, yeah, once in a while you get like a dog in a tuxedo.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a DDoS attack is basically the same thing. A bunch of attempts at trying to access this one website to the point where the server crashes because it can't handle all of them. So nobody else who's trying to access the website is able to. It gets the vapors. It has a fainting server couch next to it.
Okay.
So, among a lot of what they were doing was those DDoS attacks, and kind of the timeline works out this way of starting in August, specifically August 18th, 2014, they DDoS attacked the League of Legends servers, which League of Legends is an online game that's fairly popular. So then, on August 24th, they decided to take down the Sony PlayStation Network. makers of the PlayStation 4, Sony Online Entertainment, a whole bunch of different media streaming platforms.
All of this is just for the hell of it, or?
Pretty much. There were some interviews later on, which we'll kind of talk about a little bit later, but pretty much there was no monetary gain out of this. They were just ruining people's day. So if you got home from work, you wanted to sit down on your PlayStation on August 24, 2014, you couldn't. Because you had to connect online to play some of the games, therefore you weren't able to play them because the service was down.
Okay, and at all? Like, were there any non-internet-related Sony games by then?
Sure there was, but at that point it was kind of the turn into digital download marketplaces where you got to sign in so they know that you're not stealing the game. Like, you're able to verify.
Okay. I mean, like, I remember that being a big... So we went years and years without a gaming system because we kept having kids. And so, you know, I was paying for diapers instead of games for the most part, which is preferable as far as I can understand it. But...
From a responsibility standpoint, yeah.
I guess.
I mean, I just generally don't prefer kids, so...
I don't. I'm telling you. So, I mean, of course... You know, I grew up in the days of the NES and the original PlayStation and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And obviously you just had a hard game that got plugged in when you wanted to play it. And then you had to get all the way up off the couch and walk all the way across the living room if you were going to change a game. Like, talk about having the vapors. Like, just thinking about it just terrifies me now. And we got the Wii... in one of those moments where, I mean, you can hear the visual quotes where it was a gift to me after I got sick in 2010. And my husband's like, oh, you should have a gaming system to, do you see what I'm saying? Like, because I ended up being home like housebound for 9 months. And he's like, you should have a gaming system so you don't get bored. And I think I turned it on once, but it was to let the kids not be bored. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd never played that solo at all. Mm-hmm. There were reasons primarily due to the fact that I couldn't sit on the couch to play because of the scars and shit that I was dealing with. Still, that was the first time where there was any degree of online interaction. Mm-hmm. But even then, with the Wii, this would be 2010, you didn't have to have online interaction. You didn't have to connect to the internet if you didn't want to. Now we have... The Wii U, I think?
They're on the Nintendo Switch now.
Yeah, no, we're one generation behind.
Oh, okay.
And so, I think it's the Wii U up there, where you can't run it if the, what's it called, Wi-Fi is down. Mm-hmm. So, my poor kids. They don't have a mother willing to run out and buy the newest thing until they actually break the older thing, so.
That's because I'm an adult and I get to buy my own things, so. And... A wife that also likes to play video games. That really, really does help.
Yeah. And you don't need diapers as far as I know. Like, please don't answer that. Actually, just keep going.
Depends on what game just got released.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Anyway, so after the PlayStation Network, then they went after the online shooter Destiny on November 23rd, 2014. After that, then they decided to switch platforms because they weren't biased in the gamer war or anything, and they decided on December 1st to attack Xbox Live and Microsoft. Then on December 2nd, 2014, Lizard Squad decided that they were going to go back to websites, and they decided to hack Machinima.com, which is, at least at the time, I believe they're no longer existent at this point. But they were a online video service covering video game news, tech stories, let's plays, things like that. But basically all they did is they replaced their homepage with their own ASCII art.
I mean, ASCII is the old style. It's when it was emoticons versus emojis. It was the idea of creating an image with the characters on your keyboard. Mm-hmm. And if you have even one extra space bar in there, then the whole, if it's a several line image, anyway, you know, so if people picture like a colon and a right parenthesis makes a happy face, right?
that just on a massive scale.
Yeah, this is that's the simplest sort of image. And then if you get I mean, jailbait in the 90s, like there were people who would do like a full page that would create a dragon or, mm-hmm. you know, an entire map to something or, I don't know, that kind of idea, like really, really detailed images. So ASCII, let me guess, was it a lizard? Please tell me it was a lizard.
It was, but this is like one of those cheap, plug it into a program, it'll do it for you.
So it was a lizard, it was ASCII, but it was lazy.
Yeah, it was a lizard in a tuxedo with a top hat and a monocle. And a pipe.
As one does.
A very dapper lizard.
Dapper lizard.
Which is my new handle. Anyway, after Machinima, they then on December 8th decided to go back to the PlayStation Network, took them down for a day or so. Then they kind of ramped up. On December 22nd, 2014, they DDoS attacked North Korea's internet.
The whole thing.
So North Korea is really interesting. They have their own internet. So that way you're not able to get information outside of what North Korea wants you to see. Very much what they do. And so they have their own internet service. The interesting part about it, though, is that when looking into the attacks, supposedly, when it was taken down, the attack launched from a North Korean IP address.
Right. What's that called when you bounce? Like
a VPN or spoofing.
Right.
But you wouldn't really be able to get into it from the outside. So that's the part that's really weird. I'm not really sure how they pulled that one off. Then on December 25th, they had made their intentions known, I believe a few days prior, that for Christmas, they were going to attack everything.
Oh my God. That's, have you seen, there's a headline in a newspaper that does its rounds every so often as a meme. And it's, you know, police report that man has been arrested for everything.
Was he from Florida?
Probably. You should know. Florida man just gets arrested for one thing and he quits pretty easily. No, I don't remember. I don't know where. I don't know what the byline is. It's, you know, the idea of like, I don't know, officer. He just did everything. I know that guy.
And so on December 25th, they decided that they were going to DDoS attack both the PlayStation Network as well as Microsoft's Xbox Live Network. Basically ruining Christmas for everyone who had a brand new console and had to hook it up to the internet to be able to do anything with it.
Okay, that's asshattery. Like, right? That's extra. I don't like it.
Then on December 26th, though, the day after Christmas, the attacks did stop, but only after the CEO of a site called Mega Upload, Kim.com, had offered the group $300,000 worth of free vouchers and logins for his file sharing site.
Okay.
It seems kind of random and out there. Around that time, and maybe Kim.com should be one we cover later on, he owned a file sharing service site, like think Google Drive or Dropbox. But they don't police, or at least they didn't police what was on there.
I mean, theoretically, Dropbox doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Theoretically, yeah. But he was basically hosting kind of a general area. If you have files, put it here because I don't care. And you could pay for that service to keep it private.
Okay.
So after those, and it seems just kind of random, but it actually does tie into the story later. But he basically said, hey, quit doing this, quit being jackasses, and here you go.
In exchange for your fuckery, here are hundreds of thousands of dollars.
To stop the fuckery.
Okay.
So finally putting a dollar to what they were doing. Now, in addition to those, like I mentioned before, there were some unverified attacks and various calls about swatting, various credit card hacking or credit card fraud transactions, stolen data, emails, pretty much the whole gamut of stuff that you would expect hackers to do. But one of the really big ones was affecting the, at the time, president of Sony Online Entertainment, John Smedley, who was on an American Airlines flight in August 2014, when tweets went out saying that he had brought explosives onto the plane that was already in the air with his flight number.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's what got the FBI involved.
So, but that's also what immediately tells me that these are either children or man boys.
Yeah.
I mean, or women girls. I don't want to be gender specific here because women can be assholes too, but this sounds like a very sort of adolescent prank.
I mean, a lot of it does when it comes to, you know, the networks they were attacking, the sites they were attacking. It really does, as far as stereotype goes.
And legitimately, that has to do with, like, still now, girls are not raised to think in terms of technology as a career, and boys are not raised to think in terms of nursing and teaching as careers. And so some do in either direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
Myself included, right? But when I went to college in the 90s, and the school where I went was still in the 90s, 6-to-1 male to female. Mm-hmm. So just, it was considered really weird for me to be there sitting in an engineering class, understanding what was going on.
Yeah. And I can't remember the exact number, but just based off general polling within the gaming scene, when it comes to developers and specifically like the hands-on tech roles, I believe it's like a 4-to-1 ratio of men to women as well. So it's still...
So it's better.
Yeah, it's better, but it's still has a ways to go.
It's pretty bad.
But I digress. Shortly after the attacks on Sony and Microsoft, Brian Krebs, who is a name that you might recognize, he is a journalist as well as the author of Krebs on Security, the popular cybersecurity blog.
Yes. Sorry, yes.
No, it's one of those, like... I don't read a lot of Krebs on Security. Like, I'll check out a story here and there, but it's even one of those, like, when I see the name, I stop and have to be like, oh, wait, I know this name. Why do I know this name?
Right. No, well, and I mean, I just came across it last episode talking about the Restro case. At one point, he was interviewed in one of the articles that I had read. So, yeah, got it.
So, Brian Krebs decided that he was going to start following the stories because, I mean, that's his bread and butter right there. And he started to put the pieces together. So after he was digging into this information, he started to find interviews by people, two teenagers specifically, or two younger guys, stating that they were members of Lizard Squad. This actually started out with an interview that ran on BBC Radio with two people by completely anonymous names. But then he also found separate on-camera interviews for Sky TV and started to match the voices, which then he matched the voice and the face from one of the people based off of a YouTube channel of one of these guys that was promoting hackforums.net. That guy being Vinny Amari.
Vinny the Idiot Amari? Is that what we're going to go with here?
Sure. I mean, he had tons of other aliases. I'm sure we could just slip that one in right there.
Sure. I mean, he's going to end up attacking my house anyway. It's fine.
But... shortly thereafter, Krebs started digging into hackforums.net. The information's there, let's look for it. And sure enough, found someone who had an alias of Vinny selling a handful, or rather asking if it was okay to sell a handful of Mega Upload accounts.
The vouchers?
Yeah.
Jesus, Vinny, you idiot. I mean, this is comparable. So the other day I was listening to some murdery podcast, and they were talking about, this was as recently as 2016, of a case where somebody got either caught or confirmed as having been somewhere they weren't supposed to be because their cell phone was on. Mm-hmm. And it's like, in this day and age, like, is everyone not aware of the whole cell phone towers pinging and you turn your phone off if you don't want to be caught? Like, apparently not.
Well, and then when even taking it a step further, if your phone's been off for a length of time, and that looks unusual, I mean, there's a whole bunch of...
Leave it on your bed, go away. Like, mm-hmm. Sorry if I just gave somebody a roadmap to how to commit murder, but there it is. And so the same sort of like, if you're going to do a thing online and you're going to be the anonymous guy online, like create an entirely different name. Don't associate it with your first name. Don't give interviews online, especially not more than once. Like, Vinny, come on.
Well, and in fairness, the other guy that was also in these interviews, Julius Kivimaki, did use a fake name, but it ended up being an alias that he used in another online alias username as well. Jesus Christ. Because of course it was.
Of course.
There's only so many names out there, Kate. I don't know what to tell you.
I know. Well, so that means that Dapper Lizard has probably been taken.
Probably.
I'm so sorry.
I'm a little disappointed.
Thoughts and prayers.
No, that was a different episode.
It was.
So Krebs wrote up his article, basically calling them out by name, stating, hey, these are the guys behind Lizard Squad. Well, coincidentally, in air quotes, just a day later after that article posted, Vinny Omari, who was 22 at the time, was arrested by the Southeast Regional Organized Crime Unit in the UK. Shortly after that, a press release, as well as proof from Vinny, who had been released from jail, as he scanned a copy and sent it to the Daily Dot to say, no, actually, I was arrested. Here you go. Here's the information. Because apparently he just wanted fame.
Sure. Or to prove just how enormous his vincicles were.
His EPing.
Yeah. Sleeping lizards.
So after that, there was a press release released by Thames Valley Police in the UK that said that he was actually arrested, quote, on suspicion of Fraud and Computer Misuse Act offense, dating back to 2013.
They've been watching.
Yeah. Despite being arrested, he was later released with no charges ending up being filed against him.
Well, they run it. The criminal justice system in the UK is awfully similar to the US, mm-hmm. but just different enough in a few specific, like obviously there are specific laws that are different, but there's also a difference in terms of, I think they only have 36 hours from the moment of arrest until charges are filed.
Gotcha.
And if you can't file those charges in 36 hours, you have to both let them go and effectively start your clock over in terms of gathering more evidence. So they're real sure.
And granted, I didn't dig way into whether or not he got charged with any of the Lizard Squad offenses, but from what I could tell, he wasn't. Later on either. I mean, and this being, you know, 6 years later. But the reason I used coincidentally in air quotes is the same reason I'm going to use it here, because then on January 1st, Julius Kivimaki, who was age 17, was also arrested in Finland.
Okay.
So then begs the question, okay, the day after the one guy got arrested, another one in the group gets arrested, maybe there's,
I mean,
something being worked out there. I don't know. I wasn't there, but it's something to consider.
It doesn't sound like coincidence.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like coincidence. But also at the same time, like, it very well may be a coincidence from the article being run and the first guy being arrested, mm-hmm. just because it's really hard to, on a complicated case like this, it's really hard to get grounds for arrest that fast. Mm-hmm. But it may be a case that they were on the verge of it, and then the article ran. And
it just pushed it over the edge.
Exactly. To be able to, let's go grab these people before they take off.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately for Kivimaki, he was not let go. He actually stayed jailed as his case went to trial, where he was later found guilty of over 50,000 instances of malicious hackings.
Holy shit.
Including blocking website traffic, credit card theft, email hijacking, and credit card fraud, the whole gamut of what you could do online.
And here's the thing about sitting on a jury, right, is that that may be a tough case to sit on anyway, because you have to, you know, make a lot of the offenses fit with the law, and you have to understand exactly how they fit with the law and that kind of thing. And so fine, okay, complicated, but a decent lawyer can walk you through that. But at some point in the proceedings, either at the beginning or the end, or often both, they have to read off every single event.
I thought the same exact thing. I feel really bad for their stenographer that day.
Oh, I mean, in the jurors, like, you're just sitting there trying to stay awake by that point. Like.
So, despite being charged and found guilty of all of these offenses, as the sentencing was handed out and news hit the web, there was a bit of uproar online because, being a minor, he would have been 14, 15 at the time of committing the offenses, 17 when he was being sentenced. They decided, being a Finnish court, that they were only going to give him a 2-year suspended prison sentence, confiscating his equipment that he used in the crimes, which equaled out to, I believe it said 6,000 euros, somewhere in that range, as well as monitoring of his online use and behaviors. Basically with the idea of, look, he was a kid. Yes, he did all these screwed up things, but we're not going to just lock him away because of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, good, except that skill set is going to stay with him.
Mm-hmm. And to only have monitoring for 2 years.
Well, and that's what I was going to, like, suspended arrest for 2 years, suspended sentence for 2 years doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to, on the one hand, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to only monitor him for 2 years. Like, they can,
yeah,
you know, create terms that stretch longer than that, mm-hmm. especially, if, you know, he may agree to it if it keeps him out of jail. As well, they may feel like, look, if we watch him close enough for 2 years, technology may eclipse where he's at, which I don't think that's necessarily accurate, but that may have been the logic behind it. There may have been limitations of the court system that just said, look, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unfortunately, shortly after that sentencing, supposedly, and I say supposedly only because there's no real proof to it, but with the uproar, Krebs, John Smedley, who was part of the bomb scare on the flight, these people basically took online to protest the lack of punishment, for lack of a better term, stating that, you know, they're just, this is a win for internet trolls. This is just kind of throwing the laws in the face, even though this was an international incident, because his profile was then later changed to Online Hacker God or something along those lines, as well as people within the Lizard Squad tweeting out saying, look, you can't touch us. Here's proof.
So, I mean, okay.
So many. And that's why I said this has to kind of be a two-part story, because it has evolved since then. There has been other members that have supposedly, and that's the thing, is they can't prove who has and has not been part of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, largely because of the way the justice system is set up, you really can't, there's no such thing as proven innocence. Like, that's not a thing anywhere. You don't, including in the U.S., including in the Western world, anywhere, we don't try to prove innocence. You prove not guilty, which basically just all that means is the prosecution failed to prove guilt. So I can think of a dozen cases easily, including the big, nasty, splashy, murdery porn ones, where factually I absolutely believe that the person was guilty, but the prosecution failed to prove beyond a reasonable doubt their guilt.
Yeah.
And so that's at issue. And I mean, it's been proven really well also that harsher sentences, harsher punishments, they don't make people behave any better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no deterrence. There's nobody in the history of ever who's like, ooh, I am on the verge of taking down Xbox and Microsoft and Walmart and my kid's school district, but I'm not going to press send because I might go to jail. You know, like, that doesn't deter anybody. If they're going to do the thing, they're going to do the thing.
Yeah.
And so harsher punishment, like, I don't know. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. That goes right back to when we covered Kevin Mitnick. Let's make an example of him. Well, hey, guess what? 20 years later, we still have people being assholes online.
Well, and Kevin Mitnick is presumably quite well off. You know? So if you let kids feel like they're getting away with something as kids, then they may not push this into a financial gain sector.
Yeah. All I know, after reading all of that, I have a feeling I need to get a lizard mask, a tuxedo, and then head to Walmart.